hello. This is the Bad Monkey from Radio 13, and this is Photobomb, a fantastic podcast radio show dedicated to music photography and fucking music by the independent music media sites here in Auckland, New Zealand. We have Radio 13, we have Ambient Light, Libel Music, and Music.net, and we do have some representatives here today with me. So, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Yeehaw.
Who have we got here in the studio?
It's Mark Derrickett from Libel Music.
Oh, you're with Libel Music today.
Yes, I'm representing...
Represent Megs. All right, represent. Yeah. And we have the Yeehaw Queen.
Yep, it's Shawnee. I'm representing Music.net. Am I? Yeah, I think
yes. Yep. You're also a.k.a. the Bag Lady.
I was going to make a comment on that because I was listening to the earlier episode just before.
Oh, tell us about some feedback.
He was yelling in his car about it.
Oh, I was driving around going, I've got comments to make on this and this and this and this.
Which particular episode? The last one?
The last one. About getting started. And
yes, that's right.
Gear not mattering or gear mattering and...
His strong opinions.
Very good, because today is going to be a continuation of our discussion. But first of all, apologies to everyone out there, because Megs is at Pluto tonight, right? So she couldn't make it, but we have the lovely Mark, who is going to represent, and Doug and Sarah as well. So they are tied up tonight, separately.
Pluto?
Don't know whether that's Pluto, but I'm sure they're going to be at some gig somewhere. But yeah, so to Doug, Sarah, Megs, we love you. And here we're going to try our very best to live up to the standards of Photobomb, right?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
We will set the standard.
Oh, we're going to set the standard, are we? All right. Excellent. So last week we were talking, well, the last episode, as Mark correctly steered us to it, talking about how you get started out in music photography. So I'm going to try and continue that, because I think there was a lot more depth that we could have got to.
Definitely.
So let's start with maybe tell us what was the main point of contention, Mark, when you last heard that episode. Just one. I know you have a few, but give us just one.
It wasn't so much contention. It was more feedback and just like I'm used to doing my own podcast where I'm just arguing with – we argue a lot on our show and stuff. And
cool.
And part of it was more – I think the first one that comes to mind was the gear doesn't matter.
Okay.
And in the context of starting photography and music photography, it doesn't matter. It's the attitude of loving music and just capturing stuff.
Right. Okay, cool. Here we are. We're calling all the gang signs out. All right, that's good. Battle stations, everyone. So you're coming from a point that gear matters at some point.
Well, yes and no. So later,
fucking politicians.
So
I was going to say, fire up, pick a side.
So later in the episode, you were also talking about film cameras and going, and I think it was Shawnee, I think you mentioned, like, how do you make all these old cameras that weren't really that good and film with the old lighting? We don't have modern lighting, so how do we get these good photos?
Oh, that's right, yes. Because okay. Meg said that she used to shoot gigs on
film,
and I was like, what?
Okay, all right.
And that kind of triggered me in air quotes. It's like, gear does matter. These days we have LED lighting in our venues, and that really messes with digital cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before you would have the old style lights which worked great. Mm-hmm. So the actual quality of light, we may have great light shows these days, but it's not good light for photos.
Okay.
Well. And for digital sensors.
Okay, yeah. All right. From that perspective, yeah, I can see your point. And back in the day, it was usually black and white as well, because that's what you could push to compensate for the lack of lighting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So you should.
And it's usually the blues and reds that digital sensors themselves don't really work that well with.
Okay.
Mm, like the blues are always really flat, even if you transport it into black and white, they're always really flat.
Okay, so using this as a platform to kick off our discussion today about how do you get into music photography and to develop yourself as a music photographer. Tell us now, from your perspective, Mark, what sort of gear is essential?
A camera.
I know that, but I mean, we've
like an iPhone camera, or
we've kind of said that to start off. As long as you get a camera, it doesn't have to be full frame, but a camera that can take some pretty decent photos, and a 50mm, the usually nifty 50, to start off with, to get an idea of how it is to be in the pit and so on, right? So that's where we kind of set our last discussion. So now, if we want to take it further, what should we do?
I guess from my perspective, it depends on the type of music that you're wanting to actually photo.
Right.
If you're into, like I do a lot of heavy metal, death metal, clubs at Whammy, where it's really dark. And
yes.
Love Whammy.
Yes.
Love Whammy, hate Whammy, love Whammy, hate Whammy. Yeah.
Actually, pardon me, I should actually follow some sort of protocol here by introducing Mark properly, right? So Mark's been on a few of our shows, so it's a familiar face to us, but to our listeners out there who's listening to Photobomb, Mark, let's do the formality and introduce yourself a little bit more.
I'm Mark Derrickett, by day software developer, by night heavy metal software developer. I do a software development podcast, as well as doing photos, doing photography for label music, and occasionally some of the other outlets, interviews, the occasional show review, that kind of stuff, and
right.
Eat all the pies kind of thing.
But you definitely are a familiar face in the more metal scene, right? So,
yeah.
And that's why venues like Whammy, and to some extent, the Thirsty Dog as well, potentially, and the King's Arms, rest in peace. That was also a major venue for metal gigs. All right, so now we've established your genre of music, which is going to be fast, dark, usually. Lucky if you have one fucking candle. And we have Chonny. So Chonny's a familiar face. Chonny was on the last episode, so everyone should know Chonny. So she's also a bit of a gun for hire. Well, I shouldn't use the word hire, because we don't get fucking paid, do we?
Yeah, guns. Who's hiring me? What?
Fuck, no, guns. We're just guns. We just go guns, where there's a gig.
Yeah.
All right, so
we're not getting paid?
Fuck off.
I don't know about you.
I used to get paid.
If anyone wants to hire me, I am available.
Of course we are. I'm going to put my hat in too, girl.
All the hats are in.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I mean for being here. You're paying us to be here, right?
Fuck off. That's the door.
There's gigs out there that we could be at shooting right now.
I'll tell
we're
you.
We're here.
Guess what we're doing after this show? All right. Back to the point. So let's pick a venue like Whammy. Whammy is a tough venue to shoot. Why?
Well, Whammy is really kind of horrible in that it's a smaller venue. It's underground, so there's no air. There's little airflow. It gets hot. It's sweaty. There's no barrier between the front of the stage and the crowd. So you're in amongst everyone, fists, feet, people throwing weight around and all that kind of stuff. And there's
pretty much one set of lights, right?
Well, there are two or three lights.
Three? Two on each side, and then one by the drummer.
One by the drummer, two on the sides.
Sometimes if they have that curtain open from backstage, the light shines in from there.
Okay, so minimum lighting,
and
that's pretty much.
They are talking about adding in some new lighting, but it's kind of tricky of how to actually place it, because one of the problems with Whammy is they've got a load-bearing wall.
Yeah.
Load-bearing kind of column.
It's a column.
In the middle of the stage.
Yeah.
You could definitely engineer a beam to go across there, just saying.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to establish that that's the kind of environment, and how does that affect how does that pose as a challenge to the photographer? We're talking about gear here, right? So let's talk about gear.
So gear-wise, you want to have probably the fastest lens that you could possibly have to get like as much light into the camera.
So that's a low f-stop.
Right.
Or a camera body that supports high ISO and high ISO cleanly.
Okay.
Now,
so is a 50mm, 1.2, 1.8?
1.8 is probably good, I would say.
But is a 50mm right?
It's fine. 50 is probably not wide enough for Whammy, because if you're right at the front, like by the speakers, it's not Also, I just love wide.
This is where I kind of go back to gear does matter.
Mm-hmm. It depends on your style, I guess, as well.
More in that, it's actually about if you've got a camera that's, say, full frame, mm-hmm. your 50mm lens is completely different to if you're an APS-C camera with a 50mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you get cropped, so that 50mm kind of actually is like a 85.
Yep.
It's rough.
Especially at something at whammy.
Right.
And if you're using micro four thirds, then it's two times crop.
Forget about it. Who would actually go and use a micro four thirds in whammy?
I have no idea what that is.
That's a bit of a challenge.
Well, that's what we're actually talking about here.
Yeah.
It's like if you've got a micro four thirds camera, give it a shot. It's gonna be hard.
Mm.
You're probably not gonna get many good shots, but you might get that one shot where you've got light coming through at the right time. The guitarist was facing the right direction, so there was a shadow that kind of bounced off into his face.
Right.
And you get that one shot, and if that's enough to give you the bug, that's enough.
Well, you're going to have your fucking eyepiece glued to your eye the whole night now, waiting for that fucking shot, right? But, we're getting to a very interesting discussion, because we understand that, right, you've got a camera and your lens, but what's the drawback? So you have a 50mm, it may have a low f-stop. Great, you can capture some low light, but the distance that you are away from the subject now plays a major part, and the ability to move from stage to one side to the other matters as well. In fucking whammy, in a gig,
you can barely move.
Exactly.
Pick a side.
Yeah, you pretty much pick a side, right?
If you're a smaller person, like Shani, you can probably actually navigate a lot easier.
She's the acrobat.
Yeah, I've jumped over the speakers at the front of whammy before. In front of the band's quickly tuning their guitar between songs, and I'm like boing 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 boing, and I just jump onto the other side and sit on the speakers.
Yeah. Or even then, you could probably jump around the back and weave through the crowd a bit more.
People don't let me through.
I'm bigger, so sometimes I can push through look intimidating and
look at this face like no one's scared.
So does that mean that if you're going to shoot in a place like whammy, so it's tight, it's a lot of people, you would opt for twin cameras or one?
One.
I used to take two, and because changing lenses is pain, so I'd have two bodies, and I'd have a.
But you do Fuji though.
I do Fuji,
so it's smaller. It's more compact.
So smaller bodies, lighter bodies,
right?
So there's a lot less to carry,
right?
After a while at a gig, it's still heavy. Just lifting things up and having them yank around your neck, I've got constant neck pain now, kind of thing. But that means I don't need to necessarily try and change lenses in the middle of a pit whilst people are throwing fists around or spilling beer all over me.
Okay.
Which is usually the case at whammy.
Usually, yes. And you said, Johnny, you're gonna shoot solo, right?
One. So, I only have one lens suitable for whammy, so I don't need to change it.
Okay.
I don't like carrying an extra lens because I've seen Matt do it before, and he just has it in his hoodie pocket, and it, gives me the shits. Like, bro.
Yeah, I know.
That's scary. Like, I can't be bothered carrying it around, and I just have one, and I have just, my single sling harness on.
Right.
So it's easy. It's, I use Canon, so it's quite big.
Right.
And bulky, but then I don't want to switch to anything else because I'm scared it will break.
I know.
I just have a fear of my gear breaking because it's so expensive.
Believe me, the gear is going to sustain some impact. You don't want to test it.
I mean, I've dropped it on the ground before. Yeah.
The only time I've actually physically damaged my camera was at whammy, where I got... It's a horrible low stage as well, so it's kind of... The stage is at the level of your ankles.
Yeah,
it was a Japanese black metal kind of thrash metal band, and the crowd just kind of pushed forward, and I ground my
surge.
My shin.
Ooh.
All along the stage.
Ooh.
And I just leaning down in agony, I just kind of rolled over, looked at the guitarist and went, click, got a photo, and he kind of looks at me in a very kind of broken English kind of way. He's kind of like, you're okay?
No.
You're okay? And I'm like, I'll be okay. And he goes, okay.
Falling at whammy is a
and then just starts playing again. And,
right.
But at that point, my lens, the rubber had all kind of ripped off.
Oof.
So I just had to send it away. And I was a week and a half without my precious 16 to 55.
Ah, That's now you see 16 to 55. That's an interesting one, because you see, I would go wide, right? If you can,
wide.
Wide. Johnny hates that. But
no,
yes.
I love wide.
I know. You hate it when I bring it up, though.
Okay, well, so that's Fuji 1.5 crop 16 to 55, which is the equivalent of a 24 to 75 kind of thing. So
that's still not bad.
That's what I use.
Yeah. And so most of the shots that I'm taking at Whammy are usually around about 35.
Right. Okay.
Which is a 50 equivalent.
Okay.
But that gives me the ability to go wide, and then I can crop in if I need to.
I would rather go wide and crop if I need to than have to be like, oh, I need to go back, and then look in the crowd and be like, but I'm not going in there.
Okay, so switch gears, because we're going to do this fast, because I don't want to cover the same ground. But now let's switch over to Spark, right? Spark Arena, major, big pits. Yes. Now,
the dream.
How does this affect gear?
If you're shooting from the soundboard, then you want to have a long lens.
Well, true, but assuming pit. So you can accommodate easily 8 photographers in this pit. You have some room to maneuver. So in that case, twin cameras, right?
Twin bodies.
Yeah, twin bodies.
If you want to bring a third lens, go for it.
Yep.
Heaps of room.
I have done that once where I took my smaller old Fuji XC2 with a fisheye just on it. And it was just like, I had... And it was just like, I think I got one shot and it was terrible.
Oh, okay, so...
But it was like, oh, I'm borrowing this lens, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, so now let's increase the complexity here. So we're at Mount Smart, right? Major pit, really big. You can fit 8 very comfortably.
How big is it? Never been.
I've only ever been there once.
Okay, well... Imagine that you're there. It's like Spark Arena, but
like,
the difference here, it's got a fucking tall stage.
How, like, taller than me?
So you're talking about
taller than you? Yes.
Yeah. So it's about a meter and a half, or maybe 2 meters up.
So I am more than a meter and a half.
Like, fuck. Just think, it's fuck a fucking you. One story
yeah,
like, climb,
okay, okay.
Right?
Oh my
so
God.
The stage would probably be at your head level.
Yes.
It's so annoying.
The artists will be probably standing about. Probably a meter behind. Generally, they might. The singer might come right up to the front and lean over.
Sometimes. Really.
We hope.
Yeah.
But unless you've got a long lens and reach,
right?
The dreaded reach that you guys were talking about last time.
Yeah.
Getting a drummer shot is going to be quite difficult.
Yeah.
Unless they've got a raised drummer, then it's good because you get just like through the cymbals.
So
or from the side. And
So in this kind of situation where you might have a really fantastic pit, but you have a tall stage, a telephoto lens works.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to sacrifice because you can't now go close to the stage. You actually have to go further back.
Yeah.
Right?
Get platform shoes, I guess.
Well, height is always an advantage.
Yeah, but I guess you'd have to put... I don't know, I would probably just reach like an arsehole.
Well,
in some of those cases, the one time I was there was for Westfest. The second Westfest.
Oh, may it rest in peace.
Yeah. And the stage, the barrier has like little seating area that you can kind of stand up on.
Are you supposed to stand on that?
No, but that's kind of frowned upon these days.
It is, but you can like, if you kind of like run back, you can probably like just jump up a little bit, get some height, get a shot, and then continue on.
Just bring a trampoline.
Yeah, they're interesting.
Double bounce, get the shot.
But I've also had stand. I always stand on the one at Power Station, so it's fun.
Okay, switching gears. So enough about gear. That's why switching gears, you like that.
Oh.
So you can now easily listen to Photobomb. So we've actually discussed a lot of gear. And we'll also follow the From the Pit podcast as well. We've also talked about gears as well. But I want to now switch over to talk about how we... increase our visibility online as music photographers, right? Because obviously you've now taken all your shots and now you've got some sort of content that you want to use to reflect your work. So where should we go?
Instagram?
Mark?
Instagram, Twitter sometimes, depending if you know that the artist is only on Twitter, because there are still some artists who don't go on Instagram.
Yeah.
You can post on Twitter, tag them, and...
I got seen on Twitter by someone. It was awesome.
And I do that occasionally, and there's a whole lot of there's a big heavy metal community that I'm now kind of part of.
Yeah, this it's like genre specific.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like pop punk, like photographers and like sort of or like poppy on that.
It's quite interesting that both of you so readily said Twitter and Instagram and not hey have a website that you populate with your content.
I've got my website, and that's what I kind of when I came back into music photography, that was the first thing that I reset up. It's the continuation of the original.
Do you really need it though? I mean, your first reaction is, Instagram.
Everyone
do you need
says
it?
Yes, because it's so Twitter and Instagram. Obviously, Instagram is a more amateur way to show your work. It's quick and it's easy. It's so easy. Twitter is, obviously, it's going to be your personal account, so you're probably tweeting about other things, not just showing off your work. And then your website, you want to show, like, your best work and have it linked in all of those things. Because it's nice and easy for a band to, like, click on your website, see your photos, see your bio. Oh, look, there's her number, well, their number, their email, where they live.
Yeah,
that sort of thing, or if they're available,
yeah.
And then they can see all your best work, and they're like, oh, okay.
Just, so you're telling me that.
But more professional.
You should have your website.
Yes. Use a free domain. Don't be scared.
And if you really want to get my opinion on this, then we go back to even before Twitter, before Instagram, before that, and you've got blogs.
Right.
You've got RSS feeds, aggregators, like Google Reader, rest in peace as well, and things like that where you'd have different sites and different aggregator sites that would just... You would have your news feed.
Right, okay.
So posting to a website, that goes into an aggregator, similar to podcast feeds and that kind of stuff. But from Twitter, I would actually link to the story that I've written on Instagram, on the website.
On the blog or site or something.
On the blog
or
whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so that drives content there, and then they can see other stuff that you've done. And with the way that things like... Google routinely shut down their services after about 4 years. That they have no shelf life. If Facebook goes away, then you kind of need something that's in your control.
Okay.
And if you have a website, have your own domain that you can control as well.
Right. So
not,
it comes
not
back
some,
to...
Not, some,
yeah.
not something like badmonkey.extra.co.nz. Because
right.
then your all your links go to extra.
Extra, yeah.
And if you change ISPs, then you kind of... screwed.
Right, exactly. Okay, so that's the advantage if you have your own domain.
I'm a software developer.
that's why we've invited Mark as well.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important that we have to establish our presence not just locally, but we want to get the big gigs. We want to go across Australia. We want to go and shoot festivals. And we want to kind of get on tour.
Really just dig that knife right in.
I'm sorry, Johnny. You know, I love you.
One of the downsides, I was going to say of having your own website is I've got my own website, but I also shoot for Libel. And Libel's my primary output for...
This is separate, yeah.
For the actual interviews and that kind of stuff. I'll then... post that back to my website after a while. It's maybe about six months out of date currently, but
right.
So this is so if you're shooting for a publication, obviously you always want to link back to that publication because they gave you that pass.
Okay.
And often that's who you're accredited through, and your photos can only go to that website.
I wouldn't, if you're just starting, I wouldn't start up your own publication.
No.
Because you're not going to get accreditation, and you're going to call it something silly. And then you're just stuck with that name, aren't you?
Right. Yes. That's true.
I've had my site name for 30 years.
And also it's easier to get coverage. And also if you're say you're shooting for someone like music.net, everyone knows who that is. So you meet the people and then you get more exposure online because everyone's going to follow you back and you'll follow them.
Yes and no.
In this way.
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Okay.
So I think
there's
two things here. You're right that having a media site as a platform for accreditation is powerful, right?
Yeah.
However, having your name as a photographer is equally important as well because that's what you represent, not just music, but maybe other stuff that you do. That's just as important for a media site to go through 50 different applications to say, well, actually, I like the person, this photographer, because of how she puts her displays the content or the style that she shoots with. Mm-hmm. You can only do that by having your own site. And you want to work with multiple platforms as well, right? So I think it's important to establish that individual presence, brand.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I mean, it's good that you have to tie yourself to a media and you have to give credit to the media that's actually you're representing for a particular gig and so on. And I think that's very important. However, I want to draw it back to individually as photographers. How do we establish a presence?
I guess...
I don't know.
Well, for me, I think in the local community of the bands, is when you've done a show, I'll like post to like the... either the event page on Facebook, linking back. I'll post my post, like the label link with all the photos and the review or the interview to my Facebook page, and then I'll share that post to like the event page or to Auckland Metal or to New Zealand Metal or that thing. So that's kind of like linking.
Really smart.
So what I'm listening from you, and I'm trying to summarize this, is that there are multiple groups out there that you are part of, Mark, and now you make sure that you tag those groups, or you might actually even go to those groups and post an article or link to whether it's photographs or review that you've done.
Yeah. Right?
So that's one way to keep yourself engaged in a particular group where you have a shared interest.
And because I'm sharing, say, the Chalice of Blood post of Libel Music's coverage of my photos, people start to know Libel Music and Chalice of Blood.
Right, and Chalice of Blood is?
Chalice of Blood is the website. That's my moniker.
Okay, so that's your brand.
It's my brand.
It's your brand.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's two things here, and I think that's a fantastic example using you, Mark, Chalice of Blood as a brand, and then you have Libel Music, which is the independent music media site, right? So there's two things here. Now, Libel is obviously going to post articles, press releases, and so on, and by tagging your articles and sharing accordingly, it's a kind of a win-win. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So coming back to summarize groups. So get yourself into groups, all the photographers listening here, get yourself into the groups of the music you like, the communities that you are part of, and be active. And the other thing is tagging artists, is what you said as well, right, Mark?
And actually talking to the artists at shows or the promoters, and that they'll get to know, oh, you're that photography guy, or that's you, or...
And yeah, that's important.
Quite often, when I'm like shooting at the power station, and if I can't generally get into the pit, it's tiny, and I'm a big person, so I'll be shooting from the crowd. You'll walk through the crowd, and suddenly you'll run into like three or four local bands, and they'll like make a space and go, "Come through. We know that you're going to take two photos and keep walking."
Right.
So they're not kind of worried, and they know, well, if I do this, we'll get some good photos that we can look at later.
Yes,
and exactly. We can share, and we can. So it's again,
it's a mutual sort of benefit to everyone.
Yeah.
I think it's also important here, and talking to the promoters, they are fucking busy at a gig, right? That's the lot that they don't want to be interfered or disturbed.
Well,
the ones that come for fun. Like, there's the ones working it, and they're often around the back, like, normally, like, stage right, stage left, depending on the venue. You can find them in the same spot. Don't harass them.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, say hey and introduce yourself and then just like walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to put a name to the email.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And then it's usually you connect to them on Facebook or something, and then you might comment on some of their posts about, like, who is it? Your mate touring in Australia. They'll keep posting things like, do we have any fans of this band or this band in Auckland, New Zealand or whatever? And like, yeah, so you're interacting with the promoter, the touring people. They know who you are, and then you cover shows, and it's a family.
Right. And it seems that in New Zealand, Facebook is still quite used quite often, right? Quite widely used. Because that's where events are.
It's how you can find out what's going on. Yeah. Like, I know people my age are like love hate with Facebook. Like, lots of people delete it, but I can't delete it. But because that's where you find out events going on, and then if you like an event, or say you connect with other people like in the photo community, it's like, Ruben's interested in this event. I'm like, oh, that looks kind of cool. I'll click interested too. Maybe I'll do that too. And then you can find out, and then that way, one, you can explore. Bringing it back to starting, you can explore new bands, new genres, new venues.
Right.
And that's always good when you're starting to not just shoot the genres and the bands that you really like, to shoot other things as well, because you never know
Exactly.
You never know.
Okay, so summarize. Now, as a music photographer that's coming up, you want to have a website that you control, because then if ISPs change and so on, you have full control of your content and what you post on the site. Then you want to join communities, groups, online, participate, be active, tag artists and photographers, or even, you know, other photographers, to kind of be part of the community, get to know promoters. I think a very important one is to act professionally and politely, because there are some people that just kind of bully their way through, which I've seen in some pits. But you got to be professional. And I think it's important also is to be a part of this photography group that we have, that I think is so good, right? And we enjoy this, and as I sometimes take it for granted. But there are new photographers that come into the pit that we've never seen before. And sometimes we take the first step to say, hey, hi, I've never seen you before. Who are you shooting for? And these people just got like, shrink to themselves.
It's sort of like, why are the other photographers talking to me?
Exactly,
they're
right?
They're so scared.
Well, that was what I thought. So, hey. I also thought it was amusing. Last month, you were talking about, you went to a show, one of your first gigs, and you were like, I'm just going to hide from the other photographers.
Me, yeah.
And I remember...
You guys are all like talking, and I was like, ugh.
But I remember one of the first shows that I went to when I got back into music photography, it was, I remember seeing Captain Lou, who's no longer active in the music scene, but she was like this cool blue green haired photographer chick in the corner looking yeah. And I was like, I want to talk to her, but I don't want to talk to her. It's like, I'm just going to hide in the corner with my camera.
Yeah, it's scary, and especially, if you're young as well, it can be a little bit intimidating.
I believe so. Yeah. I think just looking back at how my own behavior in the pit, and I'm not just saying in Auckland, but overseas as well, I have not taken the time to really be aware of other photographers and even younger photographers as much as I am now. You know, New Zealand has taught me to be really much more aware of my surroundings, and so help all of us as a group get fantastic shots. And you get so much fulfillment out of that. But before, I didn't have that thinking. It was all every man... wrong word to use, but that was pretty much it.
For themselves.
Every man for themselves, because there was very few females in the pit as well.
The lights go down as every man for themselves, but here it's like, oh, sorry, I'm so sorry. And like, just looking at each other, making faces and having a little boogie.
That's what we did. We had so much fun.
Natasha's really fun.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. And I think I would encourage all the photographers out there to make full use of that. Don't be shy. I know it's a hurdle, and we all can be quite intimidating with our guns out, harnesses
standing
on.
Standing there like a...
And it's like a little click that we have, right? But if you just come and say, hi, I'm shooting and I'm new, how are you guys doing? Hey, man, we would just embrace you into this group and just be a part of the fun.
I've had people approach me before. Don't approach me in the... band's playing, I can't hear you. I'm like, really sorry. It happens a lot. Like, I'm like pretty deaf when the band's playing, got earplugs in.
Right.
And so like my face looks like I'm concerned and confused, but it's just because I'm deaf and I'm really trying to understand you.
Yes. I know that feeling well. You just start to learn to lip read occasionally.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, what?
Or you just nod and go, I'll talk to you later.
I'm not being rude, I can't hear.
And I like Meg, who kind of coined this term, which is, I'm going to use it a lot now. It's called pitiquette.
I think I coined that before, because we've got a chat room that we used to talk in ages ago.
Right.
And I think it was either one of us or a group of us that were like talking about it. And
this is fantastic. Yeah. And I think that what you commented just now, Choni, is a nice segue into a deeper conversation about pitiquette, right? So the good thing is, recently we're starting to have more and more gigs now in Auckland, and we always seem to have people crashing into one another. Well, Choni being the bag lady is one classic case.
I'm like, oh, my feet don't work or something. Like, the lights go down and like my legs are like, nah.
But sometimes you're caught in the moment. And remember with Tash, and you were saying that I was on one side of the stage, and the next thing you know, I'm already right in the center at the runway, because that's where she's doing her guitar thing, right?
All of us have never seen us move so fast.
Yeah, so we're just like, boom, shadows. But when you do that, you still are very mindful of people around you.
Yeah, even when you have your camera, like, so it was like a little stub runway, and obviously everyone's camera's there. no one puts their camera in front of others or lifted it up over exactly. someone else's mm, or yeah. like cut someone else's hood off or something.
Yeah.
But like I've seen it in other pit photos where like someone's literally just been like, oh, actually that's my spot, and like just puts their arm over the other person's arm and their camera in front of the arm. I would
punch
you in the nuts.
Where people have done that and it's just what? Like,
nah, I'd hit it. Right, just get my hand on it, just go like this.
Yeah.
Absolutely
no, that's
not.
Just not on. That's
I've
not
got
on.
A lot of great photos from the studio where it's the most beautifulest shot. The lighting was perfect. It was perfectly in focus. But there's an arm with a camera
yeah.
in the corner. It's like...
Yes. Mm. Yeah,
just
I know.
Just don't do that, mate. Just yeah. don't. Like, yeah, we cool. Yeah, you've got really long arms. We're all jealous, but put them away.
Yeah. No, that's definitely
Move
one of the
next time,
one
I
of
guess.
The things in pitiquette that we have to remember is always keep your arms to yourself and also, be mindful. Don't be a dick.
Don't. Yeah, and also how it's just a shot. Like it's at the end of the day it's really cool to get that shot, yeah. but also you're also we're all getting the same fucking shot. We're all right there. We're all getting the same shot from multiple different angles. So, like, just yeah. chill.
It's interesting. Segue back to gear matters. You were talking about keep your arms in. And that's where I've often found the battery grip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you can turn up, so you can get your verticals, but because you've got those extra buttons on the side, you can keep your arms in,
right.
as opposed to like trying to reach around yes. and shove
you
your
can?
Elbow right.
Yes.
I don't have a battery grip.
Yeah, so poor. I mean, a lot of the battery grips. So if you look over there, there's the buttons on the top, on the side.
Oh. So see that? I've got a shutter like that when I'm shooting yeah. vertical versus this. Because that's when I shoot horizontal, that's where my shutter is.
So that way, using that battery grip, you've got the extra buttons, you can keep your shoulders in kind of compact.
So Choni now wants a battery grip for Christmas. I can see it in her eyes.
Now with that lens, mate.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, she's been eyeing my 14 mil for a long time.
I'll just take the camera as well.
Just take the whole thing, just drive yeah. off.
No, it's a Canon,
but yeah, like 3 points of contact is also really important when you're shooting. It's hard, obviously, and I'm horrendous. My right elbow goes
out.
You can knock it down, it's fine. Like, I know it's annoying, and sometimes you're just so in it that, like, I go like this.
Yeah,
just knock it down. I don't mind.
That's why you just find a shorter person who's next to you, so you can just rest your elbow on them as that point of
a
contact.
I've done that before as a joke to someone. They were not impressed. Don't know who it was. I put my arm on his shoulder.
Do not do that.
It's fucking funny. Okay. Oh, it's hilarious.
Switching gears now. So now you've got shots and you've got bands coming up to you either on email or physically and say, hey, hi, I see you taking photos. Can you send me some? How do you respond?
Oh, you screenshot it and you send it to your friend and you go, oh my god, they like my photos, and then you go, what should we do?
Well, seriously, come
that's
on.
That's literally what I do.
So, but Mark, you've been in this game a while, so you've charged a certain amount for your shots.
It's hard. If you signed a release and you can't sell them, you're just going to have to give sort of social media resolution to them for nothing.
Jump in here by saying if you got a release, then you got to abide by the terms and conditions of a photo release that you've signed, okay?
Yep.
But assuming that there is no photo release, you're going into and you're going, you caught some bands, right? Now
who's
what
asking for the photo? Is it the band?
The band.
Or,
the band.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I've had several people who I know who go to shows and go, I've decided to never take my camera to shows because I know you're going to go there and you're going to get the better shot, so I'll just steal yours. And I'm like,
steal's not the right word, mate. Yeah. Buy is awesome.
However, I'm probably in the complete minority here, and coming from a software development, open source background, I generally release all of my photos for social media under Creative Commons, non-commercial, redistributable, unmodifiable attribution.
With a watermark or not?
With a watermark.
Okay.
They're generally released under that. I often forget to actually put the full license in the metadata, which I need to actually update my software mm-hmm. to do that more. But that means it's freely distributable on social media as long as you don't crop it, as long as you don't change it or add filters, and you must credit me. That's right. The license that it's under, so it's freely distributable.
Okay, that's fair.
And well,
do they abide by that, though?
No.
Mostly, yes. And this is where another thing that my bugbear on Facebook... When you post photos, if you tag members in those photos, Facebook allows you to just make that your profile photo.
Right.
And depending on
how... They don't credit you.
Sometimes they do, but Facebook will crop the photo for you.
Yes.
And so it depends on how it's been shared. It'll either crop it or make a copy or use the original. So there's a lot of things where the actual platforms themselves could be improved to actually support the rights and say, no, I've tagged this, you can share it, but you can't copy this and make it a profile. That's not going to stop anyone from doing a screenshot and then posting it.
It just gets worse. So it's like,
No, it's a never-ending thing, right?
And this was a question that I was going to ask someone else the other night. It's like, well, what is social media resolution these days? We have phones that are 4K.
Right.
Instagram is higher than 640 by 480. I can't remember what their native resolution they resolved down to now is.
It's quite small. It's really
But if you've got a 4K camera, it's phone. It's still like about 1080.
Mm-hmm.
So it's higher res than what a lot of people used to think of social media resolution.
Right.
So that kind of blurs the lines as well, but I would say you don't give them the 4096 uncompressed kind of, or RAWs.
Yes.
No. RAWs? Yes. No one sees my RAWs. No.
Yes. No, I think my answer has always been, look, if I'm generous, if I feel like I'm in a generous mood, I'll give you a couple of shots of my choice in 75 dpi. Low res, you can use them for social media. I might put a watermark in there. I'm kind of like 50-50 on this because sometimes I understand that they want to kind of really use this, but whatever they do has to be credited.
So I think I'm an idiot.
Why?
Just give them all of them.
You just give them raw?
No, raw. Have you seen the way I edit? Absolutely not. No one sees my raw.
Good.
No.
Good. But you give them...
Given them, if I've Dropboxed them to another publication, and some publications I don't need a Dropbox because I just upload them myself, but if I've Dropboxed them,
but publications are different though, because publications are going to be part of your portfolio, right? So you
I send them the link that I put the drop, or I make a new Dropbox and I just shove them all in there.
So it was interesting.
I'm an idiot.
I recently had a local band ask me, like, you've taken photos of us over the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
We're finally getting a band website together and we want to use some of the photos. What do you have? And I was like, I'll have to go dig them out of archives, out of remote storage. And so I just pulled back all the photos. Because I've changed software, I lost all the edits. Right. So it was like, I've just done a basic edit of just like a very quick... This is just the preview.
Right.
I rendered it to a PDF, a 50-page PDF with like 10 photos and said, which ones would you like? And then we'll go through and like either edit them up and...
But you're doing this without getting paid?
We did mention a price.
Okay.
We haven't actually mentioned prices yet. It was just more like, okay, these are the photos that I have. Which ones would you be interested in?
Well, interesting you say that, though, Mark, because I would have actually, before I even go digging...
I would ask the price first.
I would say, look, it's my time. I'm going to now have to make a choice to look for your stuff versus what I'm going to do somewhere else.
And especially, like, that's why I just normally send them the Dropbox folder of the compressed files.
But isn't that...
It's already there and I'm lazy and I know I'm silly.
No, I'm not saying you're silly. I'm not saying you're lazy.
Headbands just... I think most of the sites that I contribute to don't allow you to like click on the photo and save it to your camera roll kind of thing. Have screenshotted it and then post it with like no credit to the publication, no credit to me, and because I can spot a photo I've taken, I can spot it because of the way I edit, the way I shoot. Like you can spot your photo just like if you have other photographers you follow. Like I could mostly probably pick out from a lineup,
right?
Like all three of our photos in this room from like the same show, and then I see it and I'm like, oh, that's my fucking item, and I didn't get paid to take it, you didn't pay me to take it, and then you gave me no credit,
right?
And you screenshotted it so it looks like garbage.
Yes.
So don't even want credit because it looks like trash. But I like comment on it and I'm like, oh, like I'm glad you liked the picture.
And this is
smiley
this
face
is, this is one
like,
of the
yeah Facebook's biggest. Being annoying right now and won't let people tag.
So what you're saying is you just vague book and like drop a comment saying, hey.
Or if it's on Instagram, which happens a lot, I will like DM them and be like, hey, that photo you just posted, that's mine. I'd love it if you could credit me. Because also sometimes they know that it's taken by, you know, Shawnee Mason or Chantal Mason or Libel or Playmusic.net, but they don't actually know what my Instagram handle is.
Right.
Even though it does say on most of the websites. That's fine. They don't know that it was actually mine. So they might search in Shawnee and it'll come up with like my personal page or right. nothing might come up. So they'll be like, oh, that's weird. Maybe she doesn't have one.
Well, that's
and so that's why you've got to let them know who you are.
That comes back to what I said, I think, our discussion about having that presence, having a starting point, your brand. I think it's important to establish that brand. But one of the most frustrating things for me in this photography industry today is because of technological advancements, social media, and a lot of the ease of everyone having images now, that you lose that... I hate the word exclusivity, but isn't that what we're trying to do, right? We need to... I'm always trying to get a shot that no one has got, because that's the only way I can market myself. And
because, like, why... I know, like, people probably think if you're in a band or you're an artist, like, why should we pay you when there's going to be 12 other people doing the exact same thing?
Exactly.
Well, look at my Instagram, look at everyone else's, look at my website, look at everyone else's websites. Pick what photographer suits your show, your genre, your aesthetic, and then you'll be able to pay them for their time and their effort and... their so images now, rather than...
So now we are...
But then I get them for free anyway, so...
So I think now we've steered ourselves to now look at the brand, but now how can we differentiate the brand or the name, your name as a photographer, from the rest? Because there's a lot of them out there, right? There's a lot of photographers, some of the best gears, maybe the most up-to-date gear, but how do you differentiate yourself? How do you stand out?
I always think about post-production a lot. Like, the way I edit is really different to everyone else, I know, because people make fun of me for it, but that's fine. Like, I love color correction, so, oh, is that a green light? I don't think so. I'm not really in the mood. Okay. I'm going to make it red.
Okay.
Because that's just the way I edit.
I was going to say, one thing that really irks me is I'll see quite often music photographers, they'll post photos and it's journalism, so there's no edits whatsoever, including not even correcting a white balance. Right. So you just get like horrible red casts everywhere. It's like, that would be an awesome photo
if you tried a little harder.
If you did the minimalist edit of clicking auto,
right?
Yeah, if you click like the little dropper in Lightroom and clicked, and then like.
But again, you see, this is
which is all about learning. If you're new, then obviously you don't really know about that. Sort of the way to edit in Lightroom, or Lightroom's the easiest. That's always why I just say Lightroom, but also comes, what I edit with.
It comes back to how photography developed over the past, where it was a craft. And I use this word, it's a craft. And how do you learn a craft?
You practice.
That's
why you study. If someone posts a gig, you take it, you take it, you take it. Take
but,
every
but you
gig
study as well, right?
Yeah,
you take
you
a gig,
go on
but
YouTube
you,
and you look at tutorials, exactly. You go on Twitter and people post, a lot of people in the communities I follow, they post before and afters.
Yep.
Because a lot of lighting's real shit. So they post before and afters, like, look at this pink lighting and this pink skin. Oh,
right.
This performer now has the skin color they have in the daylight and the colors behind them are colorful and bright. And then you comment, you go, can you explain how, bro, how? Christian, what the hell? There's this dude.
Yes.
He does it all the time. So I keep catching my reflection and like I'm so vain, I can't stop looking at it in the mirror. But you just like comment how, and then some people post videos of like how they color correct real quickly, like just like speedy, like Lightroom ones. I did hear that. That is some ASMR. Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the ASMR
but
beard
show. Comment and just don't be scared to like just slip into someone's DMs and be like, hey, do you really quickly mind?
Yes.
Sending, not don't say, can you screenshot your edit Lightroom like sliders? Like, I'm not going to do that unless you're like my friend, I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that in the past. It was like someone was like posting, that shot looks cool. Like, how did you do that? And like, so I was like, oh, I'll do it again and I'll just record a screencast. And
well, I can never do it again. This is the issue.
But it was like, okay, I'll choose a different photo that I haven't actually edited yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And then do it.
Yeah. And I'll do a screencast and I'll just post him a screenshot of a video of a very quick edit. And he's like, That's kind
of
cool.
Or I've forgotten how to do it because it's not one of my presets. So I thought, like, how do you do that? I'm like, bro, I just click the pretty red tones and it gives me reds.
But you see, again,
I get very complicated on my presets.
How does a photographer differentiate him or herself is exactly
it's
what
editing.
You just said.
And
it's
also looking, shoot the way you like photograph the shows. Well, but like that
kind of relates back to gear matters, but it's actually more that side is more software matters, like different cameras and different software mm-hmm. work together. Like
yes, that's, yep.
like
I
found
that,
I found that Lightroom and Fuji
they don't really work.
Didn't really give me the best quality of output from my RAW files.
Okay,
whereas Capture One and Alien Exposure, which I normally use. Mm-hmm. That gives me much better output than what Lightroom used to. Mm. I haven't tried modern versions of Lightroom. I think it's better now.
Okay.
But that kind of process, depending on your camera and, A, the style that you edit as well, like whether you actually like black and whites and only shoot black and white, or you do colours, or you do colour correction, or you have distinctive styles that you actually go for, that kind of...
If you do sparkles, which is really in.
It's a never...
Sparkles.
Sparkles.
So... Gear matters doesn't just stop at gear.
No,
I think we've pretty much established that after the shots are taken, there is a process that comes, a long and tedious process.
But lots of swearing.
That being said, going all the way back to the start of starting concert photography, just go to a show, take photos. Don't bother about editing. Even just to see if this is something that you actually enjoy doing.
Fair enough.
Take photos. You don't need to be publishing. You don't need to be posting them anywhere. Just like...
Oh, yeah, just edit them for fun.
Just edit them for fun.
Just like when you shoot heaps of gigs, go back and edit the old ones. See what you can do.
I mean, remember, the premise of our discussion here is how does one become a professional music photographer, right?
Practice, but practice
doesn't mean just practice on a camera.
Oh, no, it means
but
that.
Practice means you need to fucking choose... a software that you're familiar with, you're comfortable with,
can afford,
and fucking learn it. Because a lot of people think, I'll just want to shoot in JPEGs, which is fine.
Fuck you.
Which is fine, but there is limitations.
If you're buying an expensive camera and you're not shooting in RAW, you are literally wasting your money.
Not necessarily. Like, say...
Don't you dare... I mean, Getty, that's different. Getty's different.
Well,
they make you shoot in JPEG because it's quicker. Because you're not supposed to edit them.
I know some Getty photographers. Dave does the music stuff, but also my friend Kerry does a lot of horse and sport stuff for Getty.
Right.
And so they'll be taking photos and being published pretty much within like about 10, 15 minutes or so.
Dave
of
looks
the
like
event.
A machine.
And... learning how like metadata on photos, like things like photo mechanic for like actually doing very quick culling and editing metadata.
Right.
Wizard.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, JPEGs have a place, don't get me wrong, right?
If you need that quick turnaround,
that's exactly what we're doing.
Also, do RAW.
Done.
Do RAW. Shoot both, because you can set your camera to shoot both.
Exactly.
So that if you want to go back and you want to deep edit them.
Yep. So always learn about the software side, because I feel there's a lot of photographers out there who, again, you know, they want to go out there, spend the time in the pit, going out to all the gigs, fantastic, but hey, if you shoot fucking 1,000 shots every gig and you come back, hey man, peace to you, because you're going to spend a lot of time in front of your computer.
We're going to all be sleeping.
exactly. All right, so we are coming to the end of this episode. I just want to say thank you to Mark and Choni for coming here and sharing your thoughts and your experience about life in the pit. Now, I want to know a little bit about your plans, because we do have a bit of time and I want our listeners to get to know you a little bit. So we'll start with Choni. Oh, so what have you got coming up? I know you've been with us at Tash.
Yeah,
last night, was it?
Last night, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotta put those up somewhere sometime.
Yeah, why is it not up?
Because I haven't got the review yet. Heather, I know you're listening.
You're waiting for the review.
I'm just waiting for the review. And I also had to put up the one from Wednesday.
If you had to pick one highlight and one low light for shooting Tash Sultana at Spark Arena, what would it be?
The low light was the stress of getting into that pit.
Oh, yeah,
At the beginning.
All right.
They gave me the wrong colour pass, so I couldn't shoot the opener, and then he, couldn't find another pass. That was a bit of a low. It's always rough when everyone else is on the other side and you're looking in like, oh, bruh.
That's rough.
And then, highlight. Oh, the rough, I keep tripping on the, like, during the actual, during her, during their performance, I kept, like, tripping on the metal bits of the barrier like an idiot, like I'd never been in a pit before. I kept tripping over them. I don't know. I guess my legs are too long or something. And then the highlight was there was confetti.
Ah, yes.
Confetti in the first 15 minutes is, like
ice cream. Foreign.
It's, like, amazing. When it goes off, you're like, yes, oh, my gosh. And I always black out for, like at least 2 seconds because, like, the sound and, like, them
raining down on you.
Freaks me out for, like, 2 seconds. Oh, and I just hold my camera, like, ching, 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 ching. Got some good ones.
So what gigs have you got coming up, Johnny?
I think I have Spring City tomorrow. Haven't actually heard about if I'm approved or not, but Spring City tomorrow at Ellerslie Racecourse, and then I could say yeehaw. And then I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to Good Things as a participant.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you can shoot from the crowd.
It's going to be so good. I'm just going to cry the whole time. It's
And how about you, Mark? What have you been doing lately?
Well, I think last weekend
there was a lot of metal.
There was Manowar, which was it wasn't actually Manowar, but it was the guitarist from Manowar and the original drummer and with new members doing solo material from that. Then there was this Written by Wolves album release party for the new album Secrets.
Yes, that's good. Right.
And then the Sunday night was
You sprawled on the bed on that one.
Yeah. The couch is at Ryan Park or Ryan Park?
Ryan Park, yeah.
That was a late one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I could drink there was the sugar-free Red Bull. So I had like five or six Red Bulls. Goodness. So it was like,
Jesus Christ.
A mark on Red Bull. That's a sight.
And then Sunday night was I Hate God.
Yes. How was that?
It was good.
That was a whammy, wasn't it?
That was at Whammy. Okay. And so Friday night at Whammy with the Manowar show was, I almost ended up going to the A&E. There was like a broken glass bottle on the floor that jammed
like
all the way.
My worst nightmare.
Oh.
It jammed all the way into the into my shoe and almost into my foot.
That's
it was
right.
Just luckily that it was on an angle. So, and then coming up, I think it's next week or it might be next weekend or the weekend after. Wolves at the Throne Room.
Okay.
Black Metal, also at Whammy. So that'll be fun.
Okay.
And then coming up in the new year, Smashfest. Local New Zealand Heavy Metal Festival in Gisborne.
Okay, cool.
Gisborne.
On the beach.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Metal on the beach. Hey.
It's two things you don't hear about together.
And between bands, we have Armoured Fighters. 50 kg of steel, axes, swords to the head. We've got heavy metal and heavy metal.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I can't wait to see your shots. Yeah, this is going to be so, so cool. Good. That's going to be so cool.
Well, you can check them out from last year and the year before on chaliceofblood.net.
Hey, I was just going to ask you to plug that in. Cool. Well, to all the listeners out there, this is Photobomb. This is an episode that we are, this I believe is the third episode, so we're still quite young, but we're trying to just give this discussion and New Zealand flavor, Kiwi flavor, and just getting photographers who are familiar faces in the pit, sharing their experiences and welcoming all the new talent out there. This is a fantastic place to be if you really like creative photography. Music photography is not for everyone.
No, it's not.
It has its likes and dislikes. Some people love wedding photography, landscape photography far more than music photography. I could never do landscape photography, neither could I shoot a wedding because I would just cry the whole time.
I'd be scared I'd screw someone's big day up.
I could do the landscape photography if I didn't have to do the hiking.
If you just got teleported in. They're just like, exactly. They just helicopter you in. And they're like, there you go, mate. And you're like, thanks.
Exactly. So,
and back up your photos.
Oh, yeah.
Get a decent backup solution, people.
That might be another good.
Get external hard drive.
A good discussion for the next one.
So you can back up.
And offsite backups and triplicate.
Yep, that.
Yeah.
Well, lots of subjects for the next discussion, boys and girls. Until then, this is Photobomb. Out. Follow her to shoot, baby, just sing about the groove. Sing it. Groove is in the heart.